Like to call to order this regular board meeting of Fire District 7 on August 22nd, 2019. We have a full board quorum. We will have an executive session as per 423140, and begin with the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I would ask, is there any public comment? I think Karen Mecklenburg would like 3 minutes. So I'll give Karen three.
Okay, you're going to start? Okay. I had checked your website and it looked like your agenda was already done. So I thought, well, I'll just hurry up and print off a few things for you. Just to remind you, I'm Karen Meltenberger at Nicholson & Associates, and we represent Washington State Risk Management Group, 32 fire districts that have joined together to do training and save a ton of money. Just wanted to give you a little reminder of years ago when I got a reference letter from your chief at the time, Rick Eastman. And so I've been around, and the group that you guys belong to, I was the one that authored and developed that, and it was about 1995. I created Snow Group and started it as a risk management group, so you would receive the savings through training, and that's an arrangement that you have through an interlocal agreement with all your group. Our group that we have, been very successful. Right now we have a combined risk management group loss ratio of 17%. That is absolutely unheard of. And so we have a lot of people asking, can we join? Well, you have to have good loss history and you know, good training and be in compliance in regards to driver's training, certification, employment practices, liability, sensitivity in the workplace, and we provide these classes either free of charge or low cost. And I think some of your members have been in attendance for it. But I was approached at a couple times this year by a couple of your chiefs and commissioners in regards to the claim recently and that kind of a dissatisfaction that happens. And sometimes that happens in claims. And I think what happened here, you know, Gordon, he took over, he inherited my accounts when I left VFIS because I was employed by them, like Gordon was, and then now he's independent, and I'm an independent agent. I represent VFIS, ESIP, Fire EMS, CAP. We don't get employment, you know, we don't get paid by any of them other than the commission that we earn on the policies. But Gordon had very little control over this, I believe, and I have to say, maybe you didn't know, now you probably already heard that AIG purchased VFIS. VFIS has been the stronghold in the marketplace for over the years, many, many years. I used to be employed by them, like I said, and they have been the strength of it. There are people that you see working for ESIP and other carriers, including pools, they came from VFIS. Everybody started with VFIS. Even the president of ESIP started at VFIS. So he used to be my boss many years ago. So when they sold out this year, and ESIP also sold out to Arch, but AIG purchased VFIS. And unfortunately, was that 3 minutes? Well, that's what happened.
Okay, you want to sum up about your group?
Okay, so we're going to give you a quote. We've got the information. We appreciate your time and all that. I gave you copies of what we have. And in September each year, we give you the policy and your invoices. And we will deliver it to the chief. And I think you're the one that's taking care of all the insurance. And I thank you very much for your time. And I'm sorry I didn't call ahead to get in time to be on the agenda. So here's.
Thank you, Karen.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you can ask a question.
So, Karen, is what you gave us here kind of a boilerplate of what's included in the policy that we'll be receiving your
Yes.
Proposal on, right, so these are the elements of coverage.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, it is. That's just an overview of it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Karen, appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You can go, Jim.
Do we have some questions for him?
No, I don't. Any other general public? No other general public. IAFF.
Don't get up, chief.
I'll speak for you.
We're happy to be staffing the fair. Results of a lot of hard work from Chief Silva and others last year getting us a contract back, so paid dividends. Just want to run through a few points that Michael wanted me to cover today. Station 41, looks like for now it's going to remain staffed. There's a lot of ins and outs, but one of our own firefighters worked really hard on making sure everyone knew about it. We turned out about 40 members of the public. What did I say? Us cooperatively with their fire local. So we spoke to the commissioners and let them know exactly how important that fire station was. We've gone through a fire station closure here at District 7. It didn't result in nearly the same hubbub. And that is testament to the way, the transparency and the accountability that our fire commissioners and administration operate with. So we wanted to give you guys a big thank you for that, that you're not putting us in any sort of position. We're not putting you in that position. That's intentional and that's deliberate, and we appreciate it. The other thing is that we got to review changes to the retiree healthcare program that was adopted by resolution back in 2009, modified in 2011. And we believe that the changes are positive. And I also wanted to point out that the retiree healthcare program is one of the big ways that we recruit and retain talent in this fire district. Those words are significant because they appear in every fire station. So we think it's important. We think that it pays dividends in many tangible and intangible ways, has cost savings, and we hear about it from firefighters all over the nation, how special it is that we have it, and we're renowned for it. So we're a model in that program, and we hope that, that works out well into the future. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Teamsters. Nothing from the Teamsters. The Chief's report. To begin your report, would you have Jamie get out of here?
Hey, Jamie, we got some questions for you in about 45 minutes.
Thank you.
Bye, Jamie.
He's got a bus to catch.
In my report, I'd just like to bring up a couple of items in there, highlight a couple of them. Item number two. As you know, we've been working with the training consortium on the interlocal agreement. Recently, overwhelmingly, a recommendation was made to appoint Chief Clinton to be the drill master of the next academy. That was seconded and approved by the chiefs overseeing the consortium. And I just want to say congratulations to Craig for that and thank him for his hard work in getting the everything that he's done to make him eligible and a good candidate for that position. So he will step in and work on first on developing. They have standards for the academy, but they're kind of sporadically placed out there. So he'll develop that into the standards book so that not only will the recruits understand what's expected of them, but the company officers will have a good evaluation tool. In the event that somebody's recommended to be dismissed from the academy, then the standards will be applied and everybody will, it'll make it all above board. He'll also work with the COs and XOs on their evaluations and develop the guideline book for that academy. So he's got a lot of work ahead of him, and I just want to congratulate him for that appointment and nomination for that. We're getting to the point where we're just about done with our annual report, and I just want to recognize Jennifer, Heather, and Elsa, who have been doing all of the kind of the data back gathering, the compiling of the stuff. As staff, we've been giving them some recommendations on what the final product will look like, but they've done a lot of background work to get a document that we'll be very proud to put in front of our public. So thanks to them for what they've done in there. We did attend the Recruit Academy graduation 1902 last weekend. Thank you to Chief or Commissioner Schaub for being there. I filled in for Chief O'Brien and pinned the recruits in that academy. That was a lateral entry academy that District 7 did not have. I should say the old District 7 didn't have candidates. We've been really busy responding with social media sites, specifically the Nextdoor sites regarding our fire levy. Following the vote outcome of that levy, I, as you may have seen, released a letter to the editor basically thanking the voters and understanding that what we put in front of them they didn't like, and that we will be working on education and come back with a single year levy. The hits have been coming by the growth. There's lots of them. None of them are. I mean, there's a couple of snipes in there, there's some really valuable information that's coming out of them too. So it's given us the tools we're going to need as we go out to campaign. And as always, some of the big things, just so you know, is. They don't understand our tax structure. Because we're Snohomish County Fire District, they think we are part of the county. So they blame our taxes on all the road networks and lack of and all the stuff that goes on with the, you know, everything within the county. So it's given us an opportunity to go in and address some of that. So those that, you know, I'll just say for every five concerns we've had about the levy, we've also had one person stand up in those, some citizen out there that's defending us. So and they're actually defending us very well. They're educated to some extent somehow about something. I couldn't tell you who they are. I don't recognize the names, but we've spent a lot of time corresponding back and forth and answering the questions. Some of them, I'll be honest, we're choosing not to answer, because we're not going to get into a punch and mask over punching match in social media with some of those folks. When we have tried to directly respond to some of their questions, they just snipe back with 10 more, and we'll agree to disagree and move on with some of those comments. So, a lot of work in the last 2 weeks have gone on. I've also included in the action items in here an update for Liz Loomis's contract. Carrying us through the end of November, so I would ask the board to consider that, get that approved. We did attend the opening ceremony for the Evergreen State Fair today. Got to sit down with Terry Ryan and Sam Lowe and their entourage and have lunch with them. So keeping the connections and communications open. We do have, as you're aware, the fair did open. We do have the parade going on this Saturday. We have several vehicles and personnel involved in that parade. So if any of the commissioners want to come down and watch that, we're mustering up at 9:30. Mm-hmm. I'm also requesting an executive session to discuss contracts for service and personal contracts under RCW 4230-140. In the finance officer's report, I just wanted to bring out on page 8 of that report, you'll see expenditure comparisons and general fund comparison, or revenue and expenditure comparisons. That's something Camille has started doing in the reports, and you'll see the expenditure comparison in the purple at the bottom of that page. It kind of goes across that says, here's the revenue we've got, the percentages that have come in, the percentages we're spending at. And she just wants to make that clear to the board that we're on track, we're doing well, and everything's working the way it should.
That's awesome.
That's a nice.
Yeah, that's really nice. Thank you.
If there's any other questions on the chief's report,
ask a question.
Yeah, of course.
So you were kind enough to show me the early analytics from the election.
Yeah.
And it looks like we lost across the whole broad spectrum of every area. Now, you know, the feedback we're getting is that the true focus of it, given given the numbers, is it really about people don't know who we are when we've passed every other levy every year? No, are you coming to the determination it was because the ask was too complex or too far-reaching? Or what's the early educational message? What's at the heart of this, really? Are there ideas floating around about
that? In my opinion, I think it's the overtaxation issue. And they think that, again, they think that we're tied to the county, so they think it's just the county dipping a little deeper into their pockets, and they don't understand what we do. So we have a lot of education that we need to get out there and get done, and we need to sell the why on why we need the money and what we'll use it for and how we've been efficient as we can with their money. And we, you know, we're transparent. We do everything that we should be doing. We're doing it right. I think part of the discussion I've had with some of the staff members is, you know, we even in the downturn in the economy, we related what we do to a homeowner's budget, and we tried to kind of put a comparison so that they could relate to that. And hindsight, looking back at it, I think that might have been a little bit far-reaching. Might not have helped us in this event. We're not a homeowner that has luxury items that we can trim. We're an essential emergency services that's providing the service based on the money that we receive. So if you know, it's not a matter of we're going to cut out luxury items should we not get this levy passed or the economy go back down on us again. It will start impacting the way we deliver service. I'm not saying we're going to jump right in and start closing stations and, you know, yeah, that kind of stuff. I'm not going down that path. But we'll be cutting essential services that the people that are out there that, you know, they've grown to appreciate. So I think we got some more education. You know, we've got a large contingent of people that live in the RTA and in the urban growth area. They saw some of the biggest hits in AB increases. They got the RTA tax on top of the school tax and you know, helping my personal story, helping my granddaughter go buy a car not too long ago in Linwood. The title transfer fees on a 2008 car was almost $400. That's directly related to the RTA.
Go to Apex Motors in Grace. 8.5%. Okay, thank you. So a name consideration then as we move forward might be not the county fire and rescue.
That's right.
All right, thanks.
Gary, just a quick follow-up. So Liz Loomis spoke at the Clearwater conference, and one of the things she was really proud of was her success rate, her company's success rate at getting things passed. Do you think it would have made any difference if we'd gotten her on board for this one that didn't pass? And maybe she wouldn't have wanted to.
She was on board.
She did all the news releases.
I know.
Yeah, she wrote all those news releases.
Her and Heather coordinated on all that release stuff that went out. You know, the part of the we had two issues coming in that could have easily convoluted one way or the other. I think we got caught sitting on our hands, and we need to be better at it.
I think part of it was a lack of signage.
We had the merger going on at the same time, and we did not want anybody to misconstrue the fact that the merger was causing some other financial hardship. This is in line with our continual plan to try and come back after small incremental lid lifts to maintain the $1.50 that we're entitled to.
But our area didn't pass that Prop 1 either. I mean, is that a warning sign? I don't know. You know, I haven't been at it long enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Snohomish passed theirs and they had to validate it. Sultan passed theirs. They are,
everybody,
I believe,
did.
Now the highest tax fire district in the state, if not the county. I don't know. They're well over the $2 limit.
Okay. Well, we'll keep charging ahead.
To answer your question directly, is that the comments we're getting the temperature of the real issue? I'm not sure, and we're, you know, we're already reaching out. We'll be meeting with Rotaries, Lions, and any other group that will have us and listen to us and talk with us, and we'll just keep reaching to get a feel for where we're at.
Yeah, and I just, you know, the commentary here is back to the conversation we had, is 17% is a big lift, so it's going to take the labor group. I don't want this all on staff's back. I think the commissioners we have to get involved and engaged and, you know, plug us in.
Michael and I have had the conversation, and he's assured me they're in full boat on this one, too.
Yeah, that's what he told me.
Any other questions for the chief? Thank you, chief. Moving on to page 11 on the consent agenda. Bill has reviewed the vouchers and appreciated there was nothing from Casey Doerr. The benefit vouchers 19-2000 through 19-2007, the amount of $403,046.79. Voucher 19-2008, 19-2117, the amount of $319,317.31. And a voucher 19-2118, the amount of $1,415. And the payroll of $732,181.10 on page 17, along with the minutes from the August 8th meeting and the attached letters. I'll accept a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion on the consent agenda? No discussion heard. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Discussion item, moving on to resolution 2019-13, authorizing the chief to accept grants on behalf of the district, not to exceed $10,000, on page 24.
This is a house clean issue, if you will, for the district. We have the opportunity to accept small grants on a regular basis, sometimes from North Region EMS, sometimes from DEM, or what's the grant group that they work for?
UWASI
grants. And rather than withhold accepting the grant for lengthy periods of time and bringing them back in front of the board, Camille actually brought the recommendation to have the board authorize a resolution that will allow me to assign them up to $10,000, because they do, in essence, increase the budget. Obviously, as we approve them, we'll bring them back into the board and let them know that they exist and they're there, and budget amendments, if necessary, would be brought to the board also. So it's more of a business house cleaning issue.
Is $10,000 enough for the ceiling, given the grant history?
Yeah, I think so.
So is it okay if we move this to an action item?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. All those in favor of moving this to an action item?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. So since it's an action item, I'll accept a motion on resolution 2019-13 so we can have a discussion.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion? Questions? No questions heard. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you very much, Chief, and Camille for coming up with that one. Okay, our next discussion item on page 25 is the draft. And this, I think, is Brian Snurs. We addressed this in the joint board meeting. And is this a discussion for the joint meeting?
It's a discussion for the joint meeting, yeah. Yes. And obviously we had to cancel that due to lack of quorum from the Lake Stevens board. I just wanted to put this final draft in front of this board so that you have time to look at it.
A couple of points, since it was in there, I read it, and I think Jeff had a couple of points to change. If we can give those to you?
Yes.
To bring back to Brian to get that, because I think the one of them had to do that I had was somewhere in here, the motion, and I have to look it up, it says the board chair has to approve expense vouchers for other board members. We've never done that. I see no reason to do that. We have a financial officer and the chief that approves those. I do not think it should fall on the chair to approve expenses from other board members. That seems absurd. But obviously some boards want to control things. I don't want to control them.
Would it be easier if you guys email me your comments and I will forward them over? Or do you want... Yeah,
that works. Jeff, you want to voice yours?
Mine are real quick.
I just got one.
On page 28, Brian did change it to say a simple majority of filled positions is a quorum. Mm-hmm. But on 2.1, he's still saying the board consists of 5 commissioner positions with 6-year term. I think we could just strike the 5 because it's going to vary for a while. We want to at some point adopt it. And then...
But by law, we are a 5-member board. So that's why it has to say that. Because we have to actually vote to change it to a 7-member board at some point. Because we voted with public hearings and everything to make it a 5-member board.
But come January, we're going to be at 9?
No, we're going to be a 5-member board. We will have more members, but they will decrease down to 5 members.
Okay.
By law,
like
we're a 5-member
we
board.
Yeah. Okay. Like we did before, from 10 down.
So legally, we're a 5-member board.
Okay.
With too many members.
We're overachievers.
He's got one more.
Yeah, the other one was, there was a short discussion, 3.1 on page 29. It says governing board instead of board of commissioners, and he had changed a bunch of those.
Okay.
It's not a big deal.
Bill, you have one?
Yeah, 13.1G, attendance at or preparation for fire district-related activities approved by the board. I think or preparation for is a slippery slope, and we shouldn't have it in there.
Yeah, that was
which section was that? I'm sorry.
That was the
13.1G.
It was added after a long discussion because one member from a different board thought that preparation, because he spends a lot of work at home related to
document
the business
prep,
that
meeting
that,
prep.
Yeah, meeting prep. I'm not sure everybody agreed with him, but I don't think anybody sat there and we wanted to punch it out. So
you're saying that or preparation for should be stricken?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It shouldn't be in there at all. That's no way to document that kind of stuff. That's a slippery slope for... Not good.
Next joint board, because he felt really strong about that. He's brought it up at least twice. So.
Well, we'll discuss
it again.
We'll discuss it again at a joint board meeting.
Okay.
Thanks. So the rest of that will come back to the joint board.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Moving on to action items, we have a communications contract on page 42 in regards to Liv Loomis.
Well, I have a question about... have we evaluated what she did for the last one, and did we? I mean, that was a complete failure. Seems to me like we ought to be asking, what did you do for us, or what? We're hiring the same person to take us down the same road, or what are we going to do here? My confidence level is not exactly high with her on.
Yeah, that was a tough balancing act between the merger and the levy, and she did. There was a lot of background work on it. We just didn't. I think when we were when we first had the conversation about bringing her on board, the conversation came up about kind of laying low on this process, and I kind of pushed back on that, and I kicked myself now for not standing my ground a little harder on it. Because I think truly that's what.
So we got bad advice.
I think the advice wasn't probably the best advice. I think we should have went headstrong with both of them and done our due diligence with it. I think the fact that it was a 6-year permanent and we didn't educate on that was probably more of the critical issue. That's my gut feeling.
I guess the question, you have confidence that she's going to be...
She's done a lot of good work for us in the past, and I would hope that, you know, one area that where we were unsuccessful doesn't weigh all the good stuff we've done with her.
You kick her under the table?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I have already.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
So, for this discussion, I'll accept a motion on this contract, and then we can have the discussion.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. It's my fault. Do I have a motion for this contract?
I move to approve the contract.
Do I have a second? Moved and seconded. Now, discussion.
I was just going to say I agree with Gary. I think if you look at our whole body of work, we've had a lot of success with Liz, and this was so complex. I haven't had near the conversations you've had from the website, but I've had some, and it was the Cleary Act that just hammered a lot of people, particularly in the west side of the district, and those higher value homes just got killed by that tax. And I think some of the smaller jurisdictions or districts that were successful with their levies, their property values may have been lower and not so much. But yeah, I think the tax burden and demands from the state and the courts and everything else, I just think that was a big deal this time around.
So, I'm not going to oppose this. I'm just.
Yeah, I hear where you're coming from.
In her defense, when we did approach her to begin with, Her first comment, I think Roy was standing there when she made it, was, "Man, I wish you guys had come to me about 5 months earlier with this issue, because we were changing the tax too. We were proposing to go to a 6-year permanent."
I think I remember that.
So, that's
question.
And it probably shouldn't. We shouldn't have done both things the same year. We should have staggered the levy and the merger 2 different years. Because it was a complicated issue. And we put all the weight around, a lot of the effort went to the merger,
right,
especially from the IIFF, yeah, which has been a lot of our support in the past.
Right.
So I still think Liz is probably worth it to give her one more chance, and then we could say goodbye to her. Unfriend her on Facebook. And but in the meantime, I think she's probably a value to us. I'll tell her I said that.
She does listen to these minutes. She realizes that.
Yeah, I know she does. You got that one, Liz. That was Roy. Yeah. So, any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. The MOU on the VEBA, page 44, which is what the IFF spoke to.
This was one that Jamie had brought forward before. It came through, and then following that, he had conversation with the representatives from VEBA, and they wanted to make sure that this mandatory employee contribution section was added. So basically, in a nutshell, what that is if you're not familiar with VEBA, VEBA says once the group agrees, then the group does what the group agreed to, that no individual has a right to change or modify.
Jamie asked me to talk.
Okay. So they just wanted it clear in there that this is, in order for it to be federally tax exempt, it has to meet this criteria. This was left out of the original one, and this just adds it back in for the firefighters union. It basically just clarifies that it's one for all and all for one, and you don't have an individual right to change it.
Jamie wanted me to mention that in your packet, the word bi-monthly is incorrect. It should be semi-monthly, but that has been corrected in the copy that we have for signature. So that second,
The first bullet point in their direct employer contributions, and the second to the last line, it says bi-monthly. It's in the signature page. If it would be semi-monthly. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, I'll accept a motion on this so we can discuss it.
I'll make a motion to do that.
It's been moved. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion. Questions. Opinions? None heard. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Move on to committee reports. No Mill Creek, have we heard back from yet?
I'm going to discuss that under the contract stuff and executive stuff.
Finance Committee, no meeting. We had a report last time. Policy Committee, none. Risk Management is...
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Labor Management, nothing. Shop, no meetings. Strategic Plan, no meeting. Capital Facilities, we have a tour on Friday, tomorrow. Is everybody going to attend that?
Yeah, well, the people that, there was that doodle. It sounded like there might be a second one.
Yeah, is there one tomorrow? Because I didn't know about it.
Yeah, there's one.
If you didn't respond and show tomorrow as a thing, I think you didn't get notified, because I didn't know about it either until Roy mentioned it last night at our meeting.
You had signed in twice on that thing.
I'm meager. I don't like doodle.
He was doodling. Can I back up a second? Are we getting a shop update scheduled?
Jen's been trying to schedule a reoccurring meeting and hasn't had much luck. So like tonight, I want to get with the shop committee and get that scheduled. Because we have the second quarter report, it's done, so.
Yeah, I ran her into the hall here a couple of weeks ago, and she said she was working toward trying to get some dates, and I hadn't heard anymore.
I think we're best to just do it here. Yeah, she tried a doodle, and Randy just wouldn't respond to a doodle.
I swear to God, I
got to pay for doodling.
I really respond twice.
Works for everybody else, but.
Okay. So we got the shop covered. Capital Facilities, anything from the committee then? Nothing.
No, we're doing our tour tomorrow. I'm sure we'll have, probably want to have a meeting following the tour and kind of get, this is something that Kevin wanted to do to get all the commissioners from both agencies up to speed on the needs of the capital. And much also depends on the success of the levy, obviously.
And Jamie will be on that with us?
Yeah.
Do we need to bring a sack lunch and a note from our parents?
Yes on the note, no on the sack lunch. We'll be providing lunch.
What time's lunch?
Show up for that part?
Get a circle bus.
I'll send you a doodle poll. Time off.
Next question.
Steve.
You don't know?
How many people are heading?
I don't know how many will be there in all likelihood.
Probably the assistant.
These four.
Moving on, other meetings. Anything happen at Snow 911?
Other than working on passing the budget, there's notice being sent out on, we're doing some updates to the interlocal and bylaws to streamline them with changes that have been made already to how we organized, and so those will be going out. And if it passes at the board with a super majority, it doesn't require every governing agency to also pass the change. It takes effect automatically. So nothing of substance really that affects our assessments or anything like that. It's more just housekeeping and how we do business.
Is there any chatter going around about pro QA?
Oh yeah, there's always chatter about pro QA.
Well, there's a lot going on about Minneapolis just dropped it, and now everybody's going, woohoo, we're cracking the wall.
You know, it's just one of those things that you don't start a process like that or a program like that and then not put the work in afterwards to fine-tune it. You know, Scott Dorsey and Sean Maxwell and others in the EMS community have been working very hard on analyzing the data. You know, the reasons that we did Pro QA are still sound. You know, the argument that we want dispatchers to be able to ad-lib and use their experience, that's what brought us to, you know, that and the lack of data that we couldn't get out of the old system is what brought us to it. Yeah, there's a handful of dispatchers that have a lot of experience and make sound decisions on what they're hearing on the phone, but that we can't craft operations around that expertise because it's not reproducible. So with Pro QA, it gives us a consistent method of taking calls and determining what the, you know, what the proper resources to send are. And now it's up to us and the EMS group and the doctor to fine tune, now that we've seen the data and seen that if we're oversending in a certain category, we have the ability to make changes to that and reduce the, you know, reduce responses to BLS or non-code or whatever be the case. And they're going through that process. It just takes a little bit of time.
Yeah. Okay.
And Dr. Cooper's definition of that went a little deeper than that, because we get we have call interrogators that are, you know, receiving the 911 call, but now we also have data of the outcome of the patient coming out of the hospital from start to finish.
Yeah.
And Dr. Cooper's really good at looking at that data and determining dispatch protocol based on that.
Okay, I appreciate the update. Thanks.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that, you know, that they don't like change. That's, you know, the fires are, we hate change, but we hate things the way they are too, so.
But it's one of the reasons that that program works, it is adaptable to your regional approaches towards emergency medicine. And that's the difference, you know, what worked in Salt Lake and what worked in Chino, California, and what worked in Seattle might not work in Snohomish County. So that's why the analysis of that data comes back to tweak those.
We heard the same story in LA, we heard the same story in Washington, D.C., but when you asked the third, fourth, and fifth questions about how they implemented it, and you come to find out that they made no downstream changes whatsoever to the protocol. They took it right out of the box the way it was. It's understandable why they got frustrated with it. They didn't do the work.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, thanks again.
The QA, QI, not quality assurance, the IT guy, the IT position, did they approve that, the board? Personnel committee pushed that back to
the data person.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that was added to the budget.
Yeah.
And still, most everybody's assessments went down because they also made the request to the county for $1.2 million of the new sales tax revenue to be used to offset any budget increases and buy down assessments slightly.
Okay.
So most all agencies are seeing a reduction unless they had a drastic increase in call activity that the formula caused an increase on them.
Yeah, my point on the data person, since they used our job description as one of their guidelines, I'm sure that you fed that in there, was that those data people now get together so they're not duplicating things.
Yep.
So that's the, yep. But I missed the meeting. Thank you, Chief. Regional coordination, any other meetings? Leadership's October 2nd, that's a ways away. Snow Owl is on the 5th at Central Whidbey. The program will be the
Naval Air Station, search and rescue.
Yeah, search and rescue from Whidbey Island Air Station.
You mentioned.
So we might want to carpool,
yeah,
right? Or get a Learjet to take us there.
You mentioned that last time. I was going to ask about that. If we could take a van from
maybe
71,
we'll see how many people want to go and get together. And is that try to support them up there? Any old business? Other?
Before we move up in old business, since we had an employee that couldn't be here at the last meeting, can Pamela take the floor for old business?
Yes, please.
So I just wanted to take a second to introduce Kendra, the new HR analyst.
All right.
That is here.
Welcome.
She's been here for 3 weeks. So she comes to us with about almost 15 years, I want to say, HR background. Worked at City of Redmond for 10 years, and then City of Des Moines as well, kind of in a full circle of HR duties. So she's been here 3 weeks and has already gotten a couple projects tackled, and she's just trying to absorb everything. So she's a certified Washington State mediator, as well as a certified trainer for Crucial Conversations, which is a training we're talking about around here. So we're lucky to have her, and I'm ecstatic. So you can't tell.
Fantastic.
So, you guys can see
welcome.
Some good
welcome.
Projects coming through. So.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
You can do the
run the gauntlet.
You got to run the gauntlet.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
I'm
going
to shake with my left hand.
Fabulous.
I have a little issue with
it. Fabulous. Nice to meet you.
Welcome to the team.
Yeah.
Now we can give Pam more work. Sorry. Calling commissioners.
Yes, so I want to extend my apologies, everybody, for missing the last meeting. It was just entirely an oversight on my part, and I realize that had that affected us having a quorum, it would have wasted a lot of people's time my not being here. So my apologies. I will be more mindful to my responsibilities and make sure I get here in the future.
We're still taking you to the woodshed.
Yeah, I know. I deserve that.
We got no for your mom.
All right. Attendance September 12th. I personally will be in Scotland. I won't be here.
Got it. I'll be here.
You're going to be there too.
Be in Ireland.
Across the water.
Jamie, you can fight aisle with each other.
Nobody else absent, just me? We're going to have an executive session in regards to a contract for services, 42.30.140. How long, Chief? It's actually two service contracts.
There's two service contracts and some personnel contract stuff. I'd probably say 20 to 30 minutes.
So 40.
40, yeah. 45.
So 45, we'll give it 45, call it 6:30. Okay. Till 6:30? How's that?
6:20.
Apparently I have a...
You want 6:20?
...tendency to talk too much.
No, it's going to be all
45 minutes. You don't want to be 45 minutes.
Rather extended than...
Okay, so we'll start out with 30 minutes.
6:15 or 6:15.
Okay, we'll start with 30 and go from there. Timer set and going.